Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Mr. McHale's Manor of Mischief, Magic, and Mystery, the podcast where we talk about music, the occult, and just day-to-day life. I am your host, Andrew McHale, and welcome to the 6M Podcast. Welcome back, and thanks for tuning in to episode 29 of the podcast. How's everybody doing? I hope you're all doing great. I just came back from a walk. I'm a little sunburnt. I'm a little hot, but I am hot to trot. Boom. Just kidding. Sorry for those of you that have been waiting and chomping at the bit for today's episode. I know I spoke about on The Lizard and the Wizard Part 10. I had spoken about this episode having a guest, the Pied Piper of Crete. But due to some of the craziness that has been occurring here at the manor as of late, we do not have a guest today. It's just you and me. So I hope that's okay with you. But before we dive into today's episode, this episode is brought to you by Serpents US. Yes, because we don't have sponsors for this show yet. And the only thing I am urging you all to do, if you can, if you can't, I don't know why you can't, but either way, if you can, head over to our YouTube at youtube.com/user/WeAreSerpents, or just search We Are Serpents on YouTube. And if you can, subscribe to our channel, watch our videos. A lot more is coming to our YouTube channel as I am in the midst of a pivot of sorts. You may have noticed a little bit of a change in, I guess, execution of the band's marketing. And I want to step away from that and just concentrate on creating. And this podcast is an extension of that. And unfortunately, being that this is that transitional period, today's episode got a little fucked up, but I'm still creating, I'm still here, and hopefully you're still listening. Other than that, if you guys can head to our Spotify after subscribing to our YouTube, head to our Spotify at Serpents US, give us a follow, listen to some of our songs, or our albums, even better, and throw us on one of your favorite playlists if you can. Literally every listen, every playlist placement, every follow helps us. This is a really fucked up time for us. It's a fucked up time for musicians in general. And literally just having your support by clicking subscribe on YouTube and follow on Serpents US Spotify literally goes beyond miles. So we would really appreciate it if you could do that. And as always, if you want to connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, whatever, you can follow us on Instagram at Serpents Metal, Facebook at facebook.com/WeAreSerpents, and Twitter, you can follow us on twitter.com/WeAreSerpents. It's a new Twitter, so give me a break. I'm trying to do everything all at once whilst creating album number 4 or EP 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know yet. We'll see. And yeah, if you can support us or the band, you are supporting the show as well. In talking about supporting the show, obviously, if you enjoy the podcast, please subscribe to the podcast. Give us a review. Throw a like whenever you want, and feel free to join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/the6mpodcast. That's THESIXM podcast. You can join our Facebook group, talk amongst fellow attendees of the manor, And honestly, I'm really trying to create an environment where like-minded people that are into mischief, magic, and mystery can get together, either bullshit with each other or bounce off ideas or complain about the podcast and say, hey, this is completely rubbish and you should fuck off. I don't know. I'm really excited. I'm really excited about what's to come as far as all things podcasts, serpents, and YouTube. I'm really, really, really digging my heels into the sand as of late and trying to pull back from the norm, so to speak, where the industry and basically just society has been operating exclusively online. And it is a necessity, and I'm not harping on, you know, people just doing what they got to do, but I would rather continue to create because that is my job as a musician, artist, creator, whatever the fuck you want to call me. So podcasts it is, and YouTube videos it is, and I'm hoping for our video gamers, for our gamer friends, I'm trying to convince our drummer, John King, to fire up a Twitch channel because the guy fucking plays games pretty much all the time that he's not drumming or being a great dad. So if you guys want that, that is in the pipeline as well. And of course, new music. Some of the best music I have ever written is in the pipeline, and I am really jazzed about it. So we're trying to get everybody, I don't know, we're trying to build a fucking community of our own. Not necessarily, you know, exiling us from the rest of the community in the metal scene, but we're trying to build our own little ecosystem, our little ethos, circulating around the idea of the initiate. And if you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, then listen to some of the other episodes of the podcast. Yeah, listen to the other episodes of the podcast or check out the YouTube. I talk about it in our latest Q&A. I talk about it in our posts. I talk about it. If you haven't gotten it, that's okay. That's cool. The literature is out there. All you got to do is pick it up. But back to today's episode. Today's episode is brought to you by rabies. No, I'm just kidding. Well, kind of. The reason things have been kind of kooky as far as the podcast or today's episode is that I have had one hell of past, I would say, 19 days. This is being recorded on August 19th, 2020, and it's supposed to be released on the 19th, but I'm running behind because, sorry, I needed a swig. Basically, we, here at the Manor, we haven't had proper internet for about a week and a half. I don't know what happened. I don't know how it happened, but the deep state. No, I'm just kidding. Well, maybe. Who knows? But someone cut our internet from the tower, the line, the pole. And by, when I say cut, I mean, like, I guess the coupler, the connector was like literally cut. And we had about three techs come to the house, and each guy was like, hey, your signal's fucked, but let me get on the tower or let me get on the pole and then check your lines and see what's going on. And I'm already irritated because, you know, the Manor is like a fortress. You know, nobody has gone in or out that hasn't been vetted. You know, a little bathroom break here and there. We have people in the backyard, aka, you know, Jake, as you may have recalled on the episode 27, where I had Jake in the studio. You know, everybody's been vetted, and we've maintained our little bubble. And we had a couple repair guys come out, look at things, and they're like, all right, well, your signal's fucked, but I fixed it, and you should be good. And every guy, I've been like, hey, I'm guaranteeing you right now, you should probably stay, because you'll probably be back. Because each guy has said, oh, I fixed it, you should be good to go. And I'm like, and then literally 5 minutes after you leave, the signal drops. So you should probably stay and wait it out. And they don't. Or some of them are like, I'll be back later today. I'll keep your case open and we'll see how it goes. And I'm like, I will see you later, friend. And keep in mind, you know, we're working from home. You know, I don't have a job aside from this, the band and, you know, YouTube stuff. And the Lizard works from home as well. So internet connection is kind of important, especially during a quote-unquote pandemic, because, hey, we need information, you know? So we're sitting there going through repair guy after repair guy after repair guy, and, you know, we get smart and, you know, move up the ladder, so to speak, and we get the manager of the repair guy. Can I speak to the manager? Yes. We get the main guy. He comes in, you know, straight off the bat, coming in hot, like, dude, what the hell's going on? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I heard this like four times in the past 2 weeks. He's like, I'm going to get this fixed. Let's see what's happening. So he gets up on the pole, pulls the thing down, comes to my door, and he says, I don't know what the hell the past three guys have done. I don't know if they're bullshitting you. I don't know. I'm like, yeah, okay. And he pulls out this like coupler that's been like cut off, or basically just like, I don't know what happened with it. He spoke a lot of jargon, and I've spoken with enough guys, and I'm like, all right, yeah, I don't know what the hell you're even, yeah, okay. Sure. What excuse am I hearing now? And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, we're going to switch to so-and-so. So he's like, yeah, that should get it going. I fixed it up for you, blah, 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 blah. Leave me a rating, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And I'm like, all right, well, maybe you should stick around. He's like, oh, no, I won't have to. He's like, I fixed it. I'm like, okay, dude. Whatever. And keep in mind, you know, I'm on a time crunch because this next episode, our next guest is supposed to be a Zoom podcast, you know, because I'm not having people, whatever, at the house. And, you know, we're all busy people. There's no need to, I guess, have everybody come here, because let's be real. A lot of my friends, a lot of my music friends, a lot of my business friends, a lot of other podcasters, they're all in their own respective states, and I would rather try out doing Zoom podcasts as well as in person and as well as the Lizard and the Wizard podcast. So obviously I need internet connection, or at least stable internet connection. So lo and behold, the guy fixed it, and, you know, I put my own foot in my mouth, I guess. Was very impressed. So I'm like, all right, cool. Let's fucking roll. I contact the Pied Piper of Crete, and I'm like, all right, let's get a new episode in on this day. We're going to record on this day. Give us some time to get up to speed, because at this same time, you know, I'm scrambling. I'm trying to figure out, like, all right, well, now that I have internet, I can do this and this. I can attend to this issue. Oh, cool. The Serpents website. We are serpents.com. has issues now. Google's flagging it, and now it's suppressed from the Google search because the font size is this and that. Like, honestly, the amount of bullshit hoops and whatever jumps that, like, I have to go through to just maintain, like a static, like, hum of a presence online is absolutely insane. And I don't know what to do at this point, except for say fuck everything and just write. But we'll get into that later. So I don't know. I'm kind of rambling. I'm drinking my Zevia energy. I bet you that's not what this energy is about. I'm just excited to talk to you guys because I could tell you about what happened after the internet came back on. And so I've been going on walks and whatever and posting from the band pages, posting from my personal Instagram and Facebook and whatever. And, you know, we recorded that last episode with the lizard. It's kind of a rough one because we both have been kind of slacking due to the internet issue and the world changing at literally every 30 minutes. Like, the lizard and I are on top of the news like that, dissecting it. I mean, she's more involved than I am, and we kind of bounce ideas back with each other, off of each other. And honestly, this quarantine situation, I don't know if you could call it that anymore, but this quarantine has really ramped up our spiritual growth, our awareness, our fire, or I guess you could call it like a twin flame connection. And it's been wild at the house. I will not sugarcoat it. A lot of weird and strange shit has happened. Okay? A lot of weird and strange shit has happened that we don't talk about on the podcast because people will think we're crazy. And I am an occultist that's known. And immediately everyone is going to think that, oh, whatever you're experiencing is just based off of, you know, oh, because you read this book or you believe in this or whatever. Like, let's get that out in the air. And it's not relevant. Because, you know, even if I were to do any sort of ritual in the house or, you know, bring in any sort of relic or whatever, I know how to cleanse it or close the door or whatever. So that's not an issue if I were doing those sort of things at the manor. But the other day, you know, as we're talking and hypothesizing and bouncing ideas off of each other, you know, we talk about, you know, the dogs and some of the issues that we're having with the dogs and the fact that a lot of people, ever since Corona started, have noticed that their pets have been acting strange. Now, this could be a farce. I don't know. People could just be attributing like actual issues with their dogs to whatever, Corona. I mean, oh, I'm home more often, so my dog is having seizures, shit like that. And one of our dogs, when Corona started, was acting up in a lot of different ways, you know, seizing up, aggressive, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, we got on the subject of rabies and stuff like that and how it could be construed as that, but it's not. We think it's in the air. I mean, it could be waves, internet, Skynet. I mean, I don't know. And So we're talking about this, and this is Monday, and I believe I was supposed to record the episode with our next guest Monday, and I think it was Monday. No, I was supposed to record yesterday with our next guest, so that's Tuesday, but Monday night, we sit down for dinner as we normally do. And we turn on the TV and kind of veg out for a little bit, because we like to do that, you know, after a long day. Because her and I, we work a lot, and we either like to go out at night, get into a little mischief at night, or bring it home, or, just chill out and veg out and maybe whatever. I take edibles and I like to hang out. But, so we turned on Lovecraft Country, which I tweeted about. So, for those of you that don't know, Lovecraft Country is a new HBO show. It's based off of an H.P. Lovecraft story. And apparently, it's produced by, like, Jordan Peele, which is the guy that made Us, Get Out, The Key and Peele Show, stuff like that. And like J.J. Abrams, which is like Star Wars, stuff like that. And they came together to do this H.P. Lovecraft show, essentially. So we were like, we've been waiting for this show for a long time. I think like 2 years, maybe. Because little known fact, and I think we talked about this on a podcast, our old house, our previous house, was actually in the show. And we were like, oh, let's watch episode one to see, you know, get involved with the show and see what's going on. Little did we know that episode one featured the scene that our house was in. And side note, I know you guys are like, oh, okay, get to the story. But side note, so our home, our previous home, for those of you that are watching the show, was, okay, so when they head to Simmonsville in the show, there's that like strip, okay? There's a strip of land. I mean, it literally is like Simmonsville in the show is like a small, whatever, rural town. And it's the scene where they go to the diner thing. And that was actually our town. So when I moved from Austin to Chicago, like downtown, or not downtown Chicago, but I was like in the Logan Square area, her and I were dating for a little bit, and then I moved to, you know, we moved, I guess, in with each other, and we were living in this town, very small town, very quiet, awesome, you know, whatever. And literally the town is that strip that you see in Lovecraft Country. That's Simmonsville. That town is not called Simmonsville, and I'm not going to shout it out. But obviously, if you look at, you know, locations and whatnot, like articles about filming Lovecraft Country, you'll find out. But it's not important. But so that was our town, and that diner, you know, I would walk by that diner literally a 2 minute walk from our house to the gym, maybe to get coffee. I will tell you, our go-to coffee joint is called the Corner Grind. And that's where the Dark Throne was created. For those of you that are following the Serpent socials, the Dark Throne is my signature coffee drink that the folks at the Corner Grind used to make for me. It's 6 to 7 shots of espresso and hot water, and that's the Dark Throne. But, small town, And there's a scene where it's a chase scene. And at the end of the alley, you'll see, well, you were supposed to see our home. And lo and behold, they keep in mind that we had to negotiate with HBO to have them be allowed to feature our home in the show. It's like a licensing thing or whatever. I don't know. I forgot what the contracts spoke of, but we negotiated with them for like 2 weeks on the logistics, the, you know, pricing, the what they could do to our house, et cetera, et cetera. And we were very happy with what HBO did and how HBO treated us. And, you know, obviously we had to keep quiet for a while about the show and whatever. So we're watching the show and then they fucking CGI'd our house. Can you believe that? They completely took the house out and changed it. I was really bummed about that. I tweeted about it. And they didn't respond, so maybe they're angry with me. I don't know. But if HBO ever wants to put me on a show, hey, you can make it up to me. I've already been on Fox twice. Yep, that's true. Well, proven innocent, that Kelsey Grammer show. I was on it as a prisoner, and they cut the scene. And I was also on Empire as a Russian prisoner, and I was in it for quite a few scenes, but some of the scenes, I was a shadow, but whatever. I was an extra, pretty much, but I would love to do other work. But either way, so I don't want to spoil the show, but let's just say that there are monsters in the show. Oh, I guess I just spoiled it. I don't know. If it's a Lovecraft show or anything based with Lovecraft, you're probably going to get monsters. So if you're sitting there literally being like, oh, what the fuck? You should have known better. No H.P. Lovecraft. And if you don't know, or if you watch the show, I would highly suggest just reading H.P. Lovecraft before you watch the show. But the show is awesome so far, except for they CGI'd our house, but when they turn the corner, you can see our real house, or our old real house. Fun fact for you. But, so yeah, there's monsters in it, and we were talking about rabies and whatever earlier in the day, and once we settled for the night, I was out of it. Due to taking some edibles, and I was just like ready for bed. And this is the first time this has happened, but I laid down for bed and I felt like deathly still, deathly at peace. And I actually fell asleep before the lizard could even get into bed. And I remember walking into bed and seeing one of our dogs kind of pouncing on something. And he was playing with a toy earlier that day. And I was kind of like, huh, whatever. Because, I don't know, they're goofballs, right? And I'm asleep, you know, waiting for the lizard. And out of just nowhere, just chaos, essentially. And what had happened was, I woke up to her, I guess, shouting, you know, for me to wake up. And immediately I'm in war mode because I don't know what's about to happen, what is happening. And a lot of strange things have been happening that have put me in war mode. So I, in my like waking up, collecting myself, I'm evaluating as I'm heading towards, you know, I'm following the lizard and like running out of the room, and I see a bat in our bedroom flying around, and, you know, it's just like, out of all the things that presented itself that evening, a fucking bat, probably one of many that are living inside of the house. And, you know, we run out of the room and close the door, and we realize one of the dogs are still in the room. And with our luck, it's the one that is sort of not doing okay, sort of not very mobile. And we like sat there, you know, trying to like give him treats and whatever so he can come to the door. Because like, I honestly wish I could paint a picture of this, and I probably could make an image of it, but it looked like something you would see in a ritual, like a possession almost. And the dog was just sitting on the bed, staring at us, making these low humming noises that he's been making, his low groans. And it was like rhythmic. And behind him, the fucking bat was circling the room, like in a panic, because we didn't know. Like, honestly, I didn't know much about bats until after this experience. But yeah, so, you know, we're sitting there trying to entice him, you know, all right, come on, come to the door. You know, the other dogs worked up, and we're worked up more like fuck, because we didn't know much about bats, and obviously we were literally just talking about rabies. And, you know, we kind of banded together and got the dog out. And, you know, obviously he was pissed off because he didn't want to be touched, as, you know, he's been. And then we were left with this bat in the room. We put towels under the door and whatever. And we immediately started researching. All right, do we call animal control? Do we call pest control? What do we do? Look up the conservation people and blah, blah, blah. And it took us into many different rabbit holes, by the way. Took us, honestly, this experience, because we've never really experienced, like, I'm Middle Eastern, and I don't fucking live with bats, okay? I don't know, like, anything about, you know, bats or wildlife, you know? We're very insulated kind of people, I guess. I don't know. Not by design, but, you know, my family are very, like, I don't know, Americanized. We don't deal with a lot of that wild shit. But, you know, as if you guys already know, I'm a nomad of sorts. I've dealt with many different wildlife. I mean, I've even come to face to face with a fucking wild black bear when I was at Audio Hammer in Sanford, Florida. So it's like, I've had my run-ins, but I've never had run-ins with other people. Does that make sense? I've never had to like be responsible for like a group of people more than myself. And yes, I'm including the dogs as people. And I didn't know how the bat had gotten in the house, because her and I, like I said, you know, this is our fortress. You know, we monitor everything that's happening in the house. And if even a fucking bug comes in when the door's open, we're on it. You know what I mean? So it's like, we're both sitting there like, how and where did this come from? You know, it's like, honestly, thinking back on it and also knowing in the back of my mind that right now there's probably a colony of bats within the walls. Like, it's fucking creepy, especially after we talked about such things and after we watched Lovecraft Country and after whatever. Not to mention the fucking 2020 quarter. The U.S. quarter has a bat on it, and we've been talking about stuff like that. So it's all very odd, and you know, occultists and a lot of conspiracy theorists, or I mean, I don't like to call it conspiracy theories because a lot of them end up to be true. And conspiracy theory was actually a term made up by government officials to dismiss people that believe in the actual truth. So it's like nothing is a coincidence these days. Everything has a purpose and everything is coldly calculated. So seeing a bat in our room was kind of like, did we will this into existence? Did this come to us? Did we put out this energy when we talked about rabies, when we watched the show, blah, blah, blah? Because we don't have any like holes or anything in our house. The only thing that we can possibly attribute this to is either it came in from another room and got into our room by the time we got into bed, or it came in through a hole, like for a cable connection in the house. So I don't know. It just appeared out of nowhere. Was very panicked, probably because we were being loud and, you know, shuffling all over the place. But we actually like learned a lot about bats, to be honest with you. You know, some sites were like, they carry disease, their shit is poisonous, the guano is poisonous. If you have a bat in your house and you've slept, like one site was like literally like, if you wake up to a bat in your room, assume that you've been bitten and to head to the emergency room to get shots for rabies. And then some sites were like, bats are completely harmless unless they're provoked. And, you know, don't bother them. Let them out. A lot of sites were like, we actually didn't know that the bat or bats are on the endangered species list. So, like, some sites were even like, you can nuke them and then, you know, deal with the fallout from that. Like, you're going to have bat corpses and skeletons, which are way more poisonous than the actual bat itself. Like, honestly, there's so many conflicting ideas when it comes to bats. But the overall thing that we've learned is you have to just let them be, mainly because of conservation. And you know, this podcast is recorded in August, so apparently July through August is like their breeding season where they, you know, breed new baby bats. And even one site was like, if you're reading this in August because you found a bat in your room, it's most likely a, you know, new bat that is just has lost its way and it doesn't know where to go, fell through a hole maybe. And the best thing to do is to open the windows and let it out. But most likely it will come back when it's dawn back to the colony that's probably in your house. And the best thing you could do is just close up that hole where it came from. Wait it out till after August or when summer's over, and then do whatever you got to do. You know, clean up the guano, clean up whatever area they were in, if you can find it. And if you want, you can, you know, direct them to a homemade bat house that you would create on your own. And I don't know, it's very cool how they kind of urge people to not be afraid, but also be smart, you know, especially with the dogs. That could be an issue, you know, if they're chewing on them or if they're not vaccinated. Obviously, that's a big issue. But we decided to go the conservation route and just kind of let them be. Obviously, we blocked off their entryways and we opened a window at like sundown. And one kind of popped up in the corner of the lizard's office and flew out the window, kind of spooked her a little bit. But we're hoping it's the same lost one that we kind of lost track of when we trapped it in the bedroom the other night. So it's been kind of goofy, kind of batty in the house. But oddly enough, you know, we're in the middle of like frantically researching on what to do while the bat is literally like hitting the walls and kind of going all over the place. You know, we realize that, you know, how they see, how they kind of guide themselves throughout the world, you know, searching for insects or using their sonar. So we found out that like when we turned on the lights and, you know, we're talking very loudly and shuffling out of the room kind of spooked him, and that's why he was going nuts. But I believe when she found him again in the other room, I'm hoping it's the same one, but he was just kind of chilling in the corner all wrapped up. And then once she opened the window, he fucking flew out. So I think it's very cool how they kind of navigate through life. So, you know, we keep the lights on, we keep the noise up just to kind of, I don't know, kind of spook them a little bit, keep them away from us. Apparently they're afraid of water too, so we have a sound machine going and we got the water, the waterfall sound. I honestly, like, if you ask me, I think he came in the room because our sound machine has like crickets and insects and the rivers. So I think he came in looking for crickets and shit. I don't know, but we decided to wait it out until September, and you know, the dogs are vaccinated and all that, so we shouldn't have any pressing issues. But you know, in terms of reading about this stuff, and you know, in conjunction with the conversation we had earlier, you know, I'm obviously, after reading, like, oh, if you've been in a room with a bat, like, or sleeping and you wake up and find a bat, you've most likely been bitten. So obviously, like, you know, I work outside, like, I not work, but you know, I work on the house, you know, mowing the lawn and shit like that. So I'm always, I've got bite marks all over myself all the time. So immediately I'm like, wait, what? So I'm Googling like symptoms of rabies, and I'll read them right now. And honestly, like, it's weird because the conversation we were having earlier with regards to rabies before we found the bat was that certain animals end up, I guess, showing signs of rabies due to isolation, and I guess you could call it social distancing of some sorts, where it distances itself from other animals and kind of drives itself mad. And we were kind of drawing parallels to coronavirus in that aspect. And in that frenzy, you know, I'm Googling, like, all right, signs of human rabies or even an animal rabies. And oddly enough, like, listen to this. I'm pulling this up off of the mayoclinic.org symptoms and causes of rabies list, right? So check this out. It says, the first symptoms of rabies may be very similar to those of the flu and may last for days. Later signs and symptoms may include fever, headache, nausea, vomiting, agitation, anxiety, confusion, hyperactivity, difficulty swallowing, excessive salivation, fear brought on by attempts to drink fluids because of difficulty swallowing water, hallucinations, insomnia, partial paralysis. Does any of that sound familiar to you guys? Sounds pretty familiar to me. And I'm not saying that, you know, coronavirus is secretly rabies. I mean, the possibility is there. I mean, do you really think that we're getting all of the information? Probably not. I mean, you've watched probably as many movies as I have. I think, what is it, 28 days or weeks later, like the virus is rage, you know? But going back to the conversation her and I had earlier that day is, you know, a lot of these symptoms are amplified by the isolation, the distancing from its peers, the species. And one can only draw these parallels when you're sitting here thinking, wow, if you look around, you know, anxiety, that's a real thing happening right now on a global scale, agitation, confusion, hyperactivity. I mean, people are, you know, looting and fucking fighting each other and, you know, whatever. Hallucinations. I mean, you could put that towards delusions of grandeur. I mean, a lot of people are having those right now. Insomnia. A lot of people can't sleep right now. I mean, these are symptoms of rabies, supposedly, per the Mayo Clinic, right? And coronavirus has somewhat similar symptoms. And you and I know, maybe you're listening to this in the future, maybe all of it gets debunked, who knows? But you and I know, as of right now, the symptoms are somewhat similar. And I remember when this shit started, everyone was like, oh, it was someone ate a bad batch of bat soup and now everyone's sick. Or, you know, they were saying like it was bats in the market or whatever. And then that was debunked, so to speak, by people you and I don't know. So are we going through a global case of new form of rabies? Who knows? But it just really made me think about isolation and social distancing and why the powers that be on a state level are really pushing for keeping us locked in and keeping us at home and whatever. You know, a lot of people, I mean, you and I remember, I mean, you might not remember, I don't know. But in the beginning, the states were the one that were being lax. Like, oh, yeah. It's not a big problem. We could still do this, blah, blah, blah. Wow, I said blah, 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 blah a lot on this podcast, and I'm sorry. But do you remember that no one gave a shit at that time when this all started? Like, people were like, you know, you had the people who were like, I'm not wearing a mask. I'm going to play a show, whatever, my life, my call. And then people started getting more and more agitated. People started having a little bit more confusion. What is real? What's reality? You know, I could go on and on. And then all of a sudden, the states, not talking about the federal government, but the states all of a sudden care. Oh, we're going to lock everything down. People are starting to get a little antsy. We're going to lock everything down. Make sure they don't go nowhere. Make sure they don't do anything. We got to keep them. Like, honestly, like, even if you look into prisoners and like, what's the worst thing you could do to a prisoner? You can lock them in solitary, right? Solitude, isolation. And it makes you think, like, is rabies, I mean, for a certain animal, they contract rabies literally just out of the power of their mind. What makes you think we're not capable of doing such a thing? You know, you look online, you see people out and about living their life, posting it online, you know, going on boat rides and whatever, just living it. They don't care. And a lot of the time, those same people, you look at their comments and it's just filled with fervor and, you know, just people like angry at them. I mean, shit, I could be one of those people, you know. I look at those pictures and you know, in the beginning I was like, like stupid, you know? And this is when I was in a bad mental state at the beginning of this stuff, right? Not a bad mental state because of this. It's just this whole situation didn't help. And then, like alchemy, you know, I transmutated this low vibration of hate, just being bitter and looking at people and like, all their stupidity is going to cost me. It's costing my career and all of this. And then I realized, you know, through obviously the twin flame connection between the lizard and I, and her and I growing and growing and growing and growing and growing and unveiling and unveiling and unveiling. Like a lot of people would call it ascending. And that's, you know, I spoke about that on previous episodes of the podcast. Is this is a spiritual awakening. Like a lot of people think it's a political awakening. A lot of people think it's an awakening in the terms of being woke, quote unquote. But I honestly think that people who are, I guess, what would you call it? Transforming themselves are not only using this opportunity to transform themselves, but they are speeding up the process due to this isolation. And then you have some of the other people out there that are pretty much poisoning themselves, you know, through the power of their mind. And like I said, what makes you think the human mind is incapable of poisoning itself, you know? You ever been sick and you tell yourself, oh, I'm sick? You get more sick, right? It's the power of your mind. And a lot of people really don't understand the power of the mind. I mean, I exercise this power whenever I write a song. Like when I do these podcasts, it's mainly just me riffing, talking to you. You know, we can't really... Even before quarantine or lockdown, I really rarely stepped out, mainly from being so busy with all things serpents and the podcast, you know. But when I did step out, you know, it's a different story. But, you know, I see the world, I guess, from the helm of the throne, my little throne in the manor. And it's just, if I let my mind wander, it will definitely poison itself. No question. And that's what I did while writing Temet Nosse. Like Temet Nosse, I basically willingly poisoned my brain. Not through drugs. I mean, yeah, through drugs too, I guess, if you want to call it that. But to see how far I could take it and see how far back, you know, like the pendulum, how far the other way I could swing it. And when I did swing it the other way, after going so deep, so dark, in a rabies-like state, I became way more enlightened and awakened, so to speak, than I did coming into it. And same thing with the corona lockdowns. You know, I never believed in a lot of the things that I believe in at the moment. And, you know, I'm thankful for the opportunity to, you know, kick in that survival instinct and, you know, turn on that part of my brain that has been off for so long. Cause, you know, you listen to, you know, Rogan and all of them. And even if you don't, it's simple. You know, we've had it very easy for quite a long time as a species. I'm not talking about like personal struggles or, you know, racial struggles or anything like that. We've had it as a species pretty easy for a long time. And, you know, I stumbled on this quote while, you know, posting or trying to figure out something to post that's akin to Memento Mori, which is like, remember that you will die, or, you know, remember death. You know, usually when you see an art piece with a skull, or, you know, a sculpture of a skull, it's actually, it's not just like, oh, that's cool, it's dark. It's a symbol known throughout time. Like every time you see a painting, anytime you see whatever, a statue, you know, with a skull, it means memento mori, like remember death. Don't forget. And, you know, I passed this quote and I posted it on my socials. It said, the quote says, without an ever-present sense of death, life is insipid. How about that? And insipid, for those of you that don't know, means, you know, lacking challenge or stimulation. It's just dull. And what better way to sum up everything that's been happening than that? You know, without a sense of ever-present sense of death, life is dull. And you see that on conflicting sides right now. You know, you have the people that are taking this survival instinct, this memory of death, and they are expanding their minds at a rapid pace. They are evolving. They are operating on higher frequencies. They are putting out positive energies. And then you have those that are going the opposite with it. All because of this little hurdle that we have right now in our lives. This looming sense of, you know, death. Which isn't a bad thing. Because, like I was saying earlier, you know, with these people saying that we've had it good for such a long time, that is not advantageous for the human race. You know, humans, at least a scientific analysis, is that humans aren't meant to be happy or content. We are meant to struggle. We are meant to strive and survive. That is our survival instinct at work. And if anyone thinks that life is supposed to be easy, or life is supposed to be, you know, harmonious and good and blah, 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 that is not how humans are built. And I think a lot of the things that we see now are, you know, people that want to see that. And unfortunately, even if we attain this, you know, peaceful harmony, everything is good, everybody's rich, everybody's happy, it won't stop there. Because we are human. We will want to strive and more than survive at that point. What are we going to do at that point? We're going to start nitpicking, as we've already started doing, if you haven't noticed. You know? And, you know, it's got its effects, but personally, it's had an effect on, you know, writing, you know, for all the new serpent stuff. It's kicked in my survival instinct again. My, you know, the same instinct that I wrote Temet Nosan, the same instinct I wrote Pestilence about, Born of Ishtar. It's kicked in this, I guess, this bug. The rabies. No, I'm just kidding. But it's kicked in this bug to write. But it's an eternal catch-22, just like most of the things that we're dealing with now. And a catch-22 is pretty much, it's a lose-lose. It's a situation where you want something, but it's impossible to get because there's contradictory things set in place, so then you can't get it. And right now, you know, I'm in this survival mode of writing, and it's like I need to help heal the world. I need to send my message now more than ever. You know, just like the other albums, they're all riddled with messages and positive messages and enlightening messages. And it's like, I got to get it out there. And I'm like writing some of the best stuff I've ever written. And I'm like, oh, I'm in this survival mode and I'm doing my best work, but the business is actually completely pretty much shut down. People are logging off of the internet for once, which is great, but bad for business. And it's just like, fuck. It's like, oh, great. Well, good thing I'm in the metal business, so I'm not expecting much, but I don't know. It's been like that for everything. Rabies. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I'm ranting and raving. And essentially, I'm explaining why there's no guest on today's podcast. I don't know. We are going to do the podcast again with the Pied Piper of Crete after the next Lizard and the Wizard, part 11. But things have been kind of crazy here. And in the midst of trying to figure out the bat situation and their schedule and trying to release the bats at certain times, it's been kind of fucking crazy at the house. But I don't know, maybe you guys learned something from this podcast, maybe you didn't, maybe I'm just rambling a bunch, but either way, I still appreciate you listening to this episode. If you've listened this far, you are amazing. And I genuinely appreciate you. I think that's going to be about it for this episode. Before I start rambling about other things. But as always, if you guys can, please subscribe to the podcast. Please rate the podcast. Like and share the podcast. And if you want to dive in or ask me some questions, maybe you want to request a topic, or if you want to ask the Lizard and the Wizard a question, or if you want to suggest a guest, please head to our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/the6mpodcast. That's THESIXM podcast, and join us. Let's get together, guys. There's too much division out there. A lot of people with conflicting ideas or backgrounds they're all just bashing each other in the head, and no one wants to come together anymore and be civil and maintain in some sort of society. And I don't think my listeners are of that vein. So I would really appreciate it if you guys come together and let's make a little ecosystem for the guests of the manor. What do you say? I don't know. And like I said, as always, please support the show by supporting Serpents. One hand feeds the other. Everything is connected in the manor. You know, Serpents, the podcast, the YouTube. So if you guys can, please head to the Serpents YouTube. You can listen to the podcast on YouTube, and we will be having video for the podcast once we start having guests on. I am hoping to have video for the other episode, so maybe episode 31. I'm hoping, working on all the technological hurdles with doing stuff over Zoom. But a lot of things are happening here. A lot of good changes are happening. I'm really excited for what's to come. And granted, we still have a civilization for people to take in said podcasts, said music, said YouTube videos. But I'm really hopeful on what's to come. And for any of you out there that are nervous, scared, anxious about what's happening, just know that there are people like myself and others that are actively fighting for the betterment of humankind. And you might not see it as that. You might see me as just some guy, you know, from this metal band that's still in metal bands, started a YouTube channel, started a podcast. But like I said earlier, everything has a reason. Everything stands for something else. And there is no, what was I saying? Everything has a reason and there is no coincidences. There you go. Coincidences. Everything I put out, everything I do has a purpose. Not many people can see it straightforward, but if you can see it, then you're on the right path. I don't put my true self out on display for everybody, but for those who are initiated, for those who are enlightened, for those who are awakened, so to speak, not in the way that you probably know the word as awakened or woke, then if you are of this mindset, then you will see what I am doing and you will hopefully support what I'm doing, because I am doing it to move our society, our minds further through music, through the videos, through whatever. So with that, I'm going to shut up and I'm going to let you guys go. But thank you guys so much for listening. And I hope to see you guys next week for the 11th installment of The Lizard and the Wizard. All right. I love you guys. Take it easy.